recording has started.
Thank you very much, Colleen. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSO Review Call on the 14th of December 2017. On the call today, we have Krishna Sivan, Jen Wolf, Rafik Damak, Lawrence Olawale-Roberts, Sarah Bucky, Wolf Oris-Snurban. We received no apology for today's call. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Marika Koenigs, Emily Barabas, Barry Cobb, and myself, Matthew Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for recording purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Jen.
Thanks so much, and thank you to all of you again for taking time for the call today. We appreciate your continued commitment to this effort. On our agenda for today, we'll do our standard request for any updates to the statements of interest, and then we'll move on to the discussion of the implementation charter for recommendation 4, and then move on to 34, and then move on to the charter for recommendations 5, 9, and 17. And if we have enough time, we'll hit recommendation 22, and then we'll talk about the break for the holiday and our schedule as we pick up again in the new year. So just briefly, are there any updates to your statements of interest? Okay, seeing none, why don't we go ahead and move on to the implementation charter for recommendation 4. Julie, would you be able to pick us up on that?
Hi, Jen. This is Julie Headland from staff, and yes, we'll go ahead. I'll go ahead and take us through that. I'm just bringing the document up now. Make it a little bit larger. So just to recap from our meeting 2 weeks ago, we had our initial discussion of Charter 4 and also Charter 34 and the Charter for 5, 7, 5, 9, and 17. So what we've done as staff is we've collected the edits based on the discussion on our last call and incorporated those edits into these revised charters, and we sent these around with the agenda last Friday. So we'll walk through the changes and see if they're acceptable. And so I'll focus on the changes, but I will just can just remind us, you know, as we start here, what each of these recommendations is, since it was a couple weeks ago since we discussed them. So this charter is for recommendation 4, non-financial community recognition. And I just see a typo there that I'll make sure we fix in the next iteration of recommendations 4, but there's just the one recommendation. I'll make a note of that. So this recommendation is that that the GNSO Council introduce non-financial rewards and recognition for volunteers. And the scope was that staff would provide an overview of existing non-financial rewards and recognition for volunteers, and then this GNSO review working group would assess the overview and determine what steps, if any, need to be taken. So what staff had found was that there already exists a couple of options for community recognition. And just as a reminder, then there is the community recognition program, whereby community leaders are recognized for their service and contributions at the annual general meeting each year. And then there's the multi-stakeholder ethos awards that are also done on a yearly basis at the policy forum meeting. And I won't go through the description of these as we did already do that last week. So part of the discussion captured in the last call was the need for there being some way to recognize the contributions of people who aren't necessarily, you know, they're active in the community, but they're not necessarily, you know, in a leadership position or an officer position. So staff did note that there is also the ability for the GNSO Council to recognize working group members. And so staff have added some text here that the GNSO Council recognizes working group members for their contributions via a resolution thanking them for their work when it is complete. In addition, ICANN staff are exploring other ways that recognition can be provided for working group and other community volunteers who would not fall under the programs described below. The goal is that recognition for other types of volunteers would fall throughout the year, and it is anticipated that such programs may be in place before the 2018 annual general meeting. So that was the new information that we've contributed here to the charter, the only other change noting that these were the changes captured following the last meeting. So I'd like to go ahead and turn this over to the working group for any discussion or questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Any comments or questions from the group? I see a couple people are typing. Chris says these look good. Wolf Ulrich is fine with it. Okay, good. Julie, I think it looks like we've got consensus that this looks good to proceed.
This is Julie Headland. Thank you, Jen. So then staff would like to suggest that we go ahead and accept these changes and then send out this final version for a consensus call. Normally, a consensus call would be for 2 weeks, but that would bring us if we sent out today, which is our goal to send these out today, that would bring us right into the holiday week through the 28th. So staff would like to suggest that we extend the consensus call for 3 weeks to the 4th of January.
Julie, I think that makes sense unless anyone has an objection. And if there could just be a reminder that went out after the holiday, that would probably be helpful too.
Absolutely. This is Julie Headland again. We'll definitely send a reminder. I would say we'll send one then on the 2nd of January to remind people that that's out there. All right, we'll do that. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. All right, so moving on to recommendation 34.
All right. Thank you, Jen, and I'll go ahead and bring that up and make it a little larger here. So, again, this was a recommendation that we discussed, at our meeting 2 weeks ago, this recommendation is that PDP working groups rotate the start time of their meetings in order not to disadvantage people who wish to participate from anywhere in the world. And what staff did was I took a look at what was already happening, what working groups were already doing, and whether or not this seemed to be effective. So staff did find that for each of the PDP working groups, the leadership team currently conducts an assessment of meeting times to ensure that the meeting schedule supports and promotes participation from all regions while not unduly burdening other members who want to participate. And I won't read this all because we did go over this last time. But we did note some edits based on the discussion on our last call. So here is the new text for consideration. So staff notes that there is ongoing assessment by working groups and periodic assessments of attendance by leadership. Staff also notes that when leadership teams look at effectiveness, it may be different for different working groups. Every working group is unique, and each has different member needs and composition. A secondary goal may be to encourage participation from those who may not be participating from that time zone. Rotation, even if it loses attendance from other time zones, may still be deemed valuable. And then staff in the next paragraph noted, as the review of the effectiveness of meeting times is ongoing and may vary among working groups, staff recommends that the GNSO working group consider this recommendation to be implemented. Now, this these changes are with respect to that to the suggestion from the GNSO review working party that described, you know, how it thought the work should be undertaken, had recommended a definition of effectiveness. Now, that is not language that's in the recommendation itself, but staff did take that into consideration in these additional edits, in that that there is an assessment of effectiveness, but that may vary based on the working group, and so staff deems it's not necessary to have a single definition of effectiveness, and may actually not be useful to have one. So I'm going to stop there, and I see that there are some comments in the chat from Chris Seaburn. I'd like to propose that we keep track of a matrix to see effectiveness, but it has been workable.
Julie?
Yes.
Hi, it's Lori Schulman. I'm not on Adobe Connect. I'm only on mobile. So if you don't mind me inserting myself in the queue.
Please go ahead, Lori.
Yeah, to the comment that was just typed in, I agree. I think it is important that each working group do what each working group needs to do in order to get its task done in terms of, you know, what rotation may or may not work for a particular working group, particularly the larger ones. And but I do support the idea that I think ICANN on a holistic level should be looking at when these shifts occur, what the patterns are generally. I think that would be important from a true global engagement perspective. And I come at this from my own organization who's global, and we have found time shifting not always as robust in terms of promoting engagement as we would have liked from those particular regions. So it may not only be time. Sometimes it's language. Sometimes it's other cultural issues regarding verbal participation versus some other kind of participation. So I just think that ought to be accounted for in this type of assessment and talking about whether or not we're meeting any particular recommendations in terms of global engagement and time shifting.
Thank you, Lori. This is Julie Hedlin from staff. So thank you for your comments. I will note, I know you mentioned language and some other other ways that that participation can be encouraged. I'll note that there are other recommendations that we haven't taken up yet that deal with, there's one in particular that deals with language separately. So that may fall, that will be dealt with by this working group in a separate recommendation. This particular recommendation is very limited in scope, in that it only talks about working groups rotating the start time of their meetings. And I see now Chris is saying also it's the rotation. I'm wondering if we're maybe not being clear enough about what is already being done as part of the assessment that working groups undertake for their members with respect to the rotation. It's actually fairly fairly methodical approach whereby staff does an analysis of the participants from the different time zones, you know, how many participants in each time zone when determining the rotations. And in many groups, this means it could mean as many as three rotations. Sometimes it's two. It depends on the composition of the group. So and that's reassessed. And so staff in coordination with the working group leadership also take note of attendance at times, and that attendance is gathered, and it is posted and collected in the wikis for each working group, and it's periodically assessed as well as to whether or not there, you know, the drop-off perhaps of membership at a particular time, and, you know, and then periodically communications go out to the working group to, you know, to see if there's a, you know, better time to you know, rotate to. Excuse me. I'm wondering if that might get to your concern about whether or not there is, you know, sort of a robust method to make sure that the rotations is meeting its goal of, you know, encouraging participation. I'll stop there, and I see also Chris says in the chat, I would still like to see how good this works out. And I see Barry's typing, so I'll stop there.
Julie, I'll insert myself again. Are there other hands up?
No, there's no other hands. There's some typing in the chat. I think maybe Barry Cobb is also trying to address this, so perhaps, Laura, if it's okay, I will read out what he has written in the chat.
Sure.
He says, I'd also note that it is very challenging to get to the data to perform this analysis at a more broad level in that locations of working group members are not connected to attendance records. A centralized working group onboarding and attendance tool would help centralize this data for a more robust analysis on how community members participate. Thank you, Barry. And I'm thinking that I'm wondering whether or not that's something that is planned. Barry, is that something that I can, and I should know this, and I apologize for asking this question. And Barry has his hand up. Go ahead, Barry.
Thank you, Julie. There is a project in the pipeline for a centralized tool for working group management and attendance tracking. It's kind of sitting idle for due to issues with budget and prioritization, as well as just ensuring that should a certain tool be created, you know, how would that have impacts from, you know, privacy of data collection and, you know, GDPR types of issues. But it has been in the pipeline for a while, but there's no formal activity on the project as it currently sits. And I just remind that this group, you know, this isn't the first time it's been mentioned. It, you know, this type of centralized platform, I believe, touches two or three other recommendations, either directly or indirectly, that have been put forward as a part of this review. And just to put clarity about my previous chat is, you know, in terms of how working group members sign up for participation of a working group, be it whether they choose to be a member or observer, is one particular path, which is used to be signed up via email, now has kind of been migrated to Google Docs platform, by which the secretariat manages on the back end. And then the secondary aspect is when a working group member that is required to provide a statement of interest, that is also on a different platform that contains this country location or time zone location when they complete their SOI. So those two sets of data are not centralized together. And then the third and most important component is that our current method for taking attendance is a separate decentralized platform, which essentially is a spreadsheet that contains really only the participant or member or observer name and their affiliation. So the the idea is that all three of those components are combined into one centralized platform that allows not only for optimization of the onboarding and management process, but then the jewel, so to speak, for lack of a better word, is that having all of that data in a centralized platform can then make for more robust reporting to understand how the community is participating.
Thank you, Barry. This is Julie Hedlund again from staff. That's extremely helpful. And Lori, I haven't forgotten to come back to you. I'll just read one comment that Sarah Bakke put in the chat. Definitely want to look at location, but I would also suggest lifestyle slash commitments would come into play. You may be in APAC, but not able to attend during working hours or late evenings due to family matters. Go ahead, Lori, and there are no other hands up at this time.
Hi, Julie. I think that has gone to, I think, the root of my inquiry. I just want to make sure that in any conclusions or reports that we do as part of this group, that when we do get to these very targeted sections like time shifting, that we're also acknowledging it's part of a bigger puzzle. I guess that's my main concern, that participation is multifactor, to the point that my colleague just made about there might be family commitments, or it's a tough nut. And I just wanted to make sure that time shifting was not necessarily looked at as the silver bullet. That's all.
Thank you, Lori. I think we have, this is Julie Hedlund again from staff, I think we have some additional information that we could add to this charter to provide more context and to link up, as you say, Lori, to the broader picture. I think it would be helpful for staff to note some of the limitations of the way that data are collected now. And recommending that once available, various data could be combined in some kind of centralized tool. That's not per se part of the scope of this recommendation, but as you say, Lori, it does help to show that this is just one piece in overall participation. And then I think it's useful to point out also that participation is not simply a factor of where one resides, but also lifestyle and commitments. So even if one does have the data as to where one is residing, that is not necessarily indicative of whether or not one is going to participate. So I'd like to suggest then that staff make some changes to this charter and send it around again for a review, and then hopefully at our meeting at the beginning of next year, we can go ahead and get it out for a consensus call if those additional revisions are acceptable.
Julie, I think that sounds like a good next step. Any objections? Okay. Great. Yes. Thanks for all the great comments, everyone.
Thank you. And Jen, I'll just read it quickly, if I may. I'll read from the chat that Chris has said that it's helpful and makes sense. It is not always residence issue for sure. And then fine by me.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, everybody. Why don't we go ahead and move on to the implementation charter for recommendations 5, 9, and 17.
Thank you, Jen. This is Julie Hedlund again from staff, and just getting the document up in here. So, again, this was a charter that we discussed also on the last call, and staff has incorporated some changes based on that discussion. Excuse me. So just as a reminder, there are three recommendations encompassed in this charter. And they are all related, so that's why we've gathered them here. Recommendation 5 is that during each working group self-assessment, new members be asked how their input has been solicited and considered. Recommendation 9, that a formal working group leadership assessment program be developed as part of the overall training and development program. And then recommendation 17, that the practice of working group self-evaluation be incorporated into the PDP and that these evaluations should be published and used as a basis for continual improvement in the PDP. So moving ahead just as a reminder of the scope, staff did review the current working group self-assessment survey and looked at including new questions or a new survey for leadership, and that's relating to recommendations 5 and 9. And then on 17, looking at reviewing the current procedures for self-evaluation and whether or not modifications are necessary. And staff notes that the questions in the self-evaluation survey, the survey itself is linked into the GNSO operating procedures, but the questions and the content of the survey are not incorporated into the operating procedures. And so that means that one can make changes to the survey and that does not require, them going out for a public comment and a formal approval by the GNSO Council, as would changes to the operating procedures. So staff had suggested then some changes to the self-assessment survey, but also noted that some of the questions that are already in the survey do seem to speak to the recommendations. So I'm not going to read through again what we found for 5, 7, and 17, other than to note that in some cases, staff felt that the existing questions addressed the recommendation. In other cases, staff suggested adding questions, such as for recommendation 7, adding additional questions to section 2 and 3 on leadership effectiveness. And then on 17, the staff had noted that already the self-assessment is part of the PDP and it's part of the working group guidelines, so there is already a formal step that the self-assessment has to be done, and the results are provided to the GNSO Council. So just so to zero in on the additional text that staff added based on the last discussion, the GNSO Review Working Group noted in the discussion of the self-assessment, and just parenthetically, this is from the discussion at the last meeting, that members of the working group that is doing the self-assessment must provide their names when responding to the survey. The GNSO Review Working Group noted that some respondents might be concerned about providing answers to responses relating to working group leadership and wondered whether the confidentiality of the responses is made clear. Staff notes that the first page of the survey provides the following guidance concerning confidentiality. Begin quotes, confidentiality, we will be asking you for identifying information to ensure that each response is valid. Your individual responses will not be accessible by anyone other than the ICANN staff administrator, and they will not be disclosed or published in a way that could be matched to your identity. Thus, staff suggests that clear guidance is provided concerning confidentiality and the treatment of identifying information. And this was a specific concern raised in the last call. Then we've added this text to address it. And the other change that we made was we included as an attachment the working group self-assessment survey. so it would then be easy for anybody to go and you know, and see what the survey actually contains, you know, it, with respect to recommendations. So I'll stop there and open it up for comments and questions. I see Chris saying plus one. Wolf Ulrich is saying I'm fine with this, fine with it. And Chris is also saying I'm happy with this approach. Any other comments?
Oh, is that Lori?
What's no, I'm fine with it. It's Lori. It's okay.
Okay. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. So, Jen, I'd like to suggest then that that staff goes ahead and incorporates these changes and, you know, accepts them, and then sends this out for a consensus call again for 3 weeks through the 4th of January, as we were doing with the other item, with a reminder to go out right after the holiday.
I think that sounds great. Thanks, Julie.
Julie, this is Lori. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Lori.
Yeah, I really recommend that you make that response date the first Monday after the new year and not January 4th. There are many people who celebrate the holidays through January 6th, particularly in Latin America. And I find that there's a lot of deadlines at ICANN right now due between, like, the 3rd and the 10th. And if we could push this a little, I think it would be courteous to the community.
This is Julie Hedlund from staff. Thank you, Lori. That, I think that's a really helpful suggestion. I'd suggest, Jen, that for both the items to go out for consensus call, that staff go ahead and make that call through the 8th of January, unless there's any objections.
Sounds good, Julie. I think everybody's in agreement there.
Right.
Okay, well, excellent. We're moving right along here. We definitely have time to hit the charter for recommendation 22.
And I have to say, actually, that I have apologies. I had hoped to have that item complete. Our staff had hoped to have that item complete, but it was overtaken by events. But I do have a suggested possibility of how to use our time still productively. And that is, I think it might be helpful, if you agree, to go back and revisit our work plan as we're looking ahead to January in any case. And we might make some changes to the work plan as we're planning for January and February. So we could talk through kind of what we've completed and what we have coming up, and talk through what those recommendations are, and see again if this working group is good with the plan as it stands.
Okay, that sounds great. Why don't you take us through this?
Thank you, Jen. And this is Julie Hedlund again from staff. So just to recap, we did work through recommendations 26 through 29, but we have these currently on hold at the moment because these are all recommendations that relate to statements of interest and also information on membership in constituencies and stakeholder groups. And we agreed that because the issues of, let me put it this way, the impact of GDPR, that there would likely be some impact on basically all of these recommendations, not the recommendations themselves, let me put it this way, but the data that's being gathered as part of the recommendations, that we put this on hold pending further guidance on how ICANN is going to be addressing GDPR issues, particularly with as they relate to data that is gathered and accessible on the community members, and in particular the statements of interest. And so we do have that out there on hold, and I think that while the working group was satisfied with the language in the combined charter, there was the sense that if there was a likely change to the charter based on GDPR, and then it would be better to hold this and revisit it. So that's the status on that one, just to remind everybody. Then we just completed recommendation 4. That will go out for consensus call. Recommendation 22 we'll have ready for the next call. This is a recommendation that the GNSO Council develop a competency-based framework which its members could use to identify development needs and opportunities. One of the things that staff is looking into with respect to this recommendation is the current programs that are available to community members for training and development. So these include ICANN Academy and ICANN Learn, and there are possibly some other learning tools and opportunities as well. So staff is working on identifying those and pulling those together to see if they are what could be considered a competency-based framework. And I think we need to kind of look at that, recommend that definition as well. So staff is working on this this particular recommendation, and we'll then make that one ready for discussion at our next call. And then we already addressed recommendation 34, and we're making some additional changes to that recommendation with the goal of having it go out for a consensus call in early January. Now, I'm just going to move ahead to note that also we've addressed recommendations 5, 9, and 17, and that's going out for a consensus call. Now, others that that we'll be looking at are recommendations 1, 2, and 3 together. These are recommendations 1. Recommendation 1 is that the GNSO development monitor metrics to evaluate the ongoing effectiveness of current outreach strategies and pilot programs with regard to GNSO working groups. 2, that the GNSO develop and fund more targeted programs to recruit volunteers and broaden participation in PDP working groups, given the vital role volunteers play in working groups and policy development. And 3, that the GNSO Council reduce or remove costs barriers to volunteer participation in working groups. So part of staff analysis that we've begun on this recommendation is to look at the current outreach activities to try to document how these may address the recommendations, and also to see if there already exist metrics that that could be used to evaluate effectiveness of these initiatives. So there are several outreach and volunteer development initiatives that staff have identified and that we'll be analyzing as part of this charter. There's a stakeholder journey project, the ICANN Academy Leadership Program, the ICANN Academy Chairing Skills Program pilot, volunteer engagement project, the Next Gen at ICANN, the Fellows Program, and the ICANN Learn Program. So staff will analyze these various efforts with respect to the three recommendations, and that is something that we'll also try to have ready for the next meeting in January. And then also for January, recommendations 7 and 12, 7 is that stakeholder groups and constituencies engage more deeply with community members whose first language is other than English as a means to overcoming language barriers, and 12, that ICANN assess the feasibility of providing a real-time transcription service and audio conferences for working group meetings. Now, so here, and I'll note, as I said previously, is the recommendation or recommendations that address language with respect to participation. And so staff is going to look at what is already being done with respect to assisting and making engagement easier for those who are, whose language is first language is not English, such as efforts underway in the ALAC for real-time transcription service. So that is also a recommendation that we'll have ready in January. And then looking ahead to February, we'll be looking at recommendations 20 and 21 that the GNSO Council should review annually, ICANN strategic objectives with a view to planning future policy development, and 21, that the Council should regularly update or commission analysis of trends and GTLDs in order to forecast likely requirements for policy and to ensure those affected are well represented in the policymaking process. And staff has already begun analysis of these two recommendations, in particular to see if there are already efforts to, you know, underway with respect to reviewing ICANN strategic objectives, and then also whether or not there are any current efforts for the analysis of trends in GTLDs. So we'll be getting that one ready for February, if not sooner. And then just looking farther ahead, and as a reminder, that several recommendations relate to diversity and diversity statistics, in particular recommendations 6, 33, 35, and 36 all relate to diversity and are on hold because the cross-community working group on accountability, the sub-team on diversity, has recommendations that are out for currently out for public comment. And once those recommendations are finalized, they can be analyzed against these recommendations. And that's an exercise I think that staff can start sooner rather than later. That is that once the comment period is closed, and I think it closes on the 5th of January, and once the comments have been analyzed, then staff might be able to see what the get a sense of what the final recommendations will be, and perhaps we can get an earlier start. But I know that the sub-team and the CCWG accountability group goal is to have the recommendations finalized and approved by ICANN 62, if not sooner. Actually, I think maybe even ICANN 61 is their goal, but then staff has factored in if there needs to be time for, say, changes to GNSO operating procedures, and those would have to go out for public comment and so on. and so it might take longer to finalize these recommendations. And that is then all of the recommendations. And just as a reminder, the implementation plan for this working group is set to complete all recommendations by September of 2018. So here staff is projecting a goal of completing all recommendations no later than June of 2018. And we'll try to continue to move as quickly as possible through all these recommendations. So I know that was a lot of information, and I'll stop now and take any questions. And, of course, staff will update this work plan as well. Any questions?
Typing, but Julie, it looks like, I mean, thank you for that thorough review, by the way. That was very helpful to just have that context of, you know, where we're headed, and I think it's great that we're going to be ahead of schedule.
Thank you, John. This is Julie. I was afraid for a second I put everybody to sleep, so I'm glad that that's not the case. Thank you for that. Yes, so we're certainly going to continue to work towards, you know, finishing sooner rather than later. I know that is a goal of this working group to finish as quickly as possible, because it won't be too long before another review starts. So we do want to have all of these complete as expediently as possible. And I see Wolf Ulrich has his hand up. Go ahead, Wolf Ulrich.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. This is Wolf Ulrich speaking. Thanks very much. So I'm fine with this plan. It's just a question. Do you have any idea, when you look at the plan for the next year and the recommendations coming up then, whether there are some of them who may have an impact on or impacted by any budget questions? But it means that there could be an impact on budget requirements for the future. It's just a question. I don't have a specific one, but maybe you have an overview whether or whether not at all. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. That's a very good question. I think that is something that I think would be useful to incorporate into this plan, you know, where we think budget might be an issue. The most obvious item that could have budgetary effects is recommendations 7 and 12, because these address, in particular, 12, because 12 talks about providing real-time transcription services in audio conferences for working group meetings. That potentially could be quite expensive. That and part of the assessment that staff will do is staff is aware that there is already you know, real-time transcription provided in various instances. The most obvious is during ICANN meetings for remote participation. Now, that is limited to certain meetings. It isn't offered for all meetings, but certain types of meetings, you'd have to justify why you need it. There's sort of a back end to the process for staff to request it. But certain types of meetings, those that are broadly attended, are expected to be broadly attended, can get this service. And also, our understanding is that ALAC is also experimenting with doing some real-time transcription. So staff plans to gather data on the costs of these services and then to project what the costs would be if, for example, you know, all, you know, PDP working group meetings, you know, had real-time transcription, what that might be. Now, recognizing that that any budgetary, you know, recommendations, you know, we're already in fiscal year 18, so we would be looking to, you know, whether or not funds needed to be requested, say, for fiscal year 19. That budget process is, you know, will start up shortly. So we do have this recommendation set up for consideration in January. I think that's important because if there were possible budgetary effects, so we'd want to identify them as early as possible so they could be incorporated into planning for fiscal year 19. So thanks again for that question. And we'll look at the other recommendations, too, to see where we can identify that there might be possible budgetary needs and incorporate that into this work plan. So Jen, this is Julie again. If there are no other questions on the plan, perhaps we could talk a little bit about the schedule for January.
Yes, I was just looking at the calendar. I think on the calendar invites, we are scheduled to pick back up again on January 4th. But it sounded like from our discussion today, perhaps it would be preferable to push that. Are there any comments from the group? Or Julie, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, Jen, this is Julie Hedlund. So we can do that, but we will run into a couple of issues if we do. And that, in particular, if we stick to our two-week rotation, then that would mean that, you know, the meeting would fall on the 11th and the 25th. But the 25th falls during the GNSO, the staff policy development retreat, in which we do try to avoid scheduling meetings. But we can do a meeting that week. I'm not saying that we don't do meetings because we have done them. It will be in LA, so it would mean that it wouldn't conflict with anything because it would be at 5:00 in the morning. But and because if we were, you know, to do 11 and then push it out to the 1st of February, you know, then we'll really only have one meeting in January. Alternately, we could do the 11th and the 18th and do, you know, back-to-back and not do a two-week split. So a couple of questions in groups.
Julie?
Go ahead, Lori.
Yeah, hi. The GNSO, non-contracted parties, health intersectional, comes right on top of that board retreat that week of the 25th. Although I think it might be a little later. I just wanted to note that. So I would probably be in favor of an 11th and 18th call rather than, you know, something the week that will be flying out for the intersectional, those who are representing the NCPH.
Thank you, Lori, for raising that. Yes, and staff is aware, too, that yes, that intersessional does follow, I think, that immediately after that week, so there would be issues there as well. So, and I'm seeing, okay, so I see that Natalie says that the NCPH intersessional is the 1st and 2nd of February, and Sarah is saying 11th and 18th seems possible and easiest if that works for everybody. I suggest then, Jen, if there's no objections, that we do the 11th and the 18th, so we avoid that first week in January when people are coming back from holiday, and avoid those last 2 weeks in January.
I think that makes the most sense, and it looks like from the chat that's what everybody else is concurring. Seems to work the best. Anyone opposed to that schedule for January? Okay, and then after that, we could pick back up with our two-week rotation. And, of course, we can always address issues as they arise.
Great. Thanks, Jen. Again, this is Julie from staff. Then we'll go ahead and update the calendar and the calendar invites and take care of that, and I will go ahead then. Actions from today, we'll get the couple of consensus calls out. We'll do the updates to Charter 34, and we'll update the work plan and get that sent around. And then I can say that I wish everybody a very happy holiday and New Year. And then we'll look forward to talking to everybody on the 11th.
Great. Thanks, Julie. Thanks again to everybody on staff for all your hard work. We really appreciate all the deal. It makes our job a lot easier. Thanks, everybody,
yes,
for joining
here,
and taking the time. Have a great holiday, and we'll pick
Julie
back up in January.
You're here. And, Jen, thank you for your leadership. And it's great. Thank you, everybody. I know I don't always make all the calls, but I do the best I can.
Thank you. Thanks for joining. Have a great holiday.
Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays.
Yep. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for joining. This concludes today's call. Operator may stop the recordings and disconnect the lines. Thank you very much.